whatever God wants to do. Are you ready for some word tonight?
Yes.
Tell you what, just turn a smile at somebody and say, I'm glad you made it tonight.
I'm glad you made it tonight.
Now, did you really mean it?
Yes.
I'm glad. Yes.
Almost
everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Had my usher export himself out. Is that what it is? Turn with me your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Now I've got somewhere I want to go, but we're going to get a whole bigger running start tonight and teach all the way through it. Praise you, Lord. Let's see if we make it all the way through the chapter or not. How many believe it'd be a move of God if I made it through the whole chapter tonight? Might be a sign he wasn't moving and I had to just keep reading to him. Philippians chapter 3. Praise you, Jesus. Verse 1, finally, my brethren, this is Paul writing, the Apostle Paul. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Well, praise God, I'll just do that right now. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, glory to God. He inhabits our praises, might as well do it all the time, right?
Amen.
As we were worshiping tonight, the presence of God just was descending on me strong. And my mind would get distracted on something, and I realized it wasn't as strong. I think, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I just ignored you. You're right here, I just ignored you. I got distracted from your presence. I worship again. Here we come again. We've come to understanding here that the presence of God is the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's genuine. He's real. He's how can I say, the person of the Holy Spirit. And any more than we would ignore a person in the room, you know, that came to see us, came in just for us, how much more should we pay attention to the Holy Spirit who visits us? And we should be paying attention to, right? And it's a lesson I'm trying to reinforce in my own life, that I stay aware of Him at all times. The more we are aware of Him, the more we celebrate His presence, the more He comes in. Amen. We've been studying here for some time on how manifest, invite in, carry the presence of God, especially since we came into this facility. On August 6th of last year, God said, I want you to teach on my presence. Focus on it heavily until the rapture. Amen. Which we taught on last Thursday night. Some are still discussing. The rest of verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Now, apparently, Paul is re-mentioning some stuff he had told the Philippian church in the past. Now, the neat thing about the Philippian church, of all the churches that Paul ministered to, it was the most highly favored in his eyes. They were the church that understood how to give with the ability to receive back. They understood faith in this situation. The church that was funding his ministry, and he told the Corinthian church and others, you should follow the Macedonian church's example, which is the church at Philippi. So he says, for me to write something to you again is not a problem. It's safe. Now I spent some time Thursday night teaching on the rapture. That the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive shall be caught up together to go join him in the air. And I explained how we're already in heaven. If we die, we leave this natural body, but we need a physical, glorified body to dwell on earth during the millennium. And I explained it in detail. Yet I come in tonight, people are saying, what was he talking about? What was all that about? Just teasing. It doesn't bother me to be asked the same question again. Do you follow me? Other than, you know, what do you want to eat or what do you want for supper? It's a personal joke in our house. It's not a problem to answer the same question. It's safe. Meaning safe is because we're getting the answers to the place we understand them. And Paul's repeating stuff back to this church. And so for me to reteach truths of the Word, Bible messages, are not a problem. It's safe for us.
Amen.
Because faith comes by hearing and hearing. I heard today, Rick Renner, I was watching his program, I believe from Friday or last couple days, and he mentioned something I've been teaching for 30 years. I've never heard anybody teach it, at least at a high level. And I know it's true. But we know that Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And everybody has used that for the most part about how to build your faith is from the Word of God. It's from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word. But Rick Renner brought out in his teaching today, just as a side note, the actual Greek says repeated hearings.
Yeah.
And the way I've always taught this verse is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And so to hear the same message again is safe for us. It's beneficial. In fact, I could ask you tonight, what are three necessary things you've got to involve yourself in if you're going to step into God's end time glory and carry His presence? We mentioned three. Do you remember what they are?
Holiness.
Holiness.
Yeah.
A life of praise. And all in. You know why you know that? Because I've mentioned it about six or eight times by now. And you're finally getting it in, right? I've made you go back to your notes and look at it even so you're ready for the answers. And Paul's saying the same thing. It's okay, you can ask me the same question again. I'm ready. Verse 2. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now the word concision there is really means butchers. Beware of the butchers. And what Paul is talking about are those that were involved in circumcision. Understand in the Jewish law, and Paul was a Jew. You follow me? Jesus was a Jew. And Jewish tradition and Jewish law, a child, I believe, 8 days old, a male child, had to be circumcised. But when Jesus hung on the cross, He did away with that law. Amen. And He's teaching the Gentiles who had not been circumcised, you're free from that. You don't have to do that. And Paul, he actually ministered primarily to non-Jewish people. He went to the Gentile churches. And so he's teaching people that had never been circumcised, you don't need to be, you're free from that law. You know, Jesus has fulfilled that for us. That was just an example of cutting away the flesh, and God has circumcised your heart. So now you're changed, you know, much more effectively than circumcising the flesh. But yet there were Jewish teachers coming around telling the Christians that were Gentiles, not only do you need to be born again, you still got to be circumcised. And Paul was calling them butchers. Beware of those teaching trying to get you back into law. And you know, in fact, the book of Galatians is all about these Jewish teachers coming through that Paul said, you're bewitching the believers. Getting them trapped back into law, into legalism, when Jesus set us free from that. So he's saying, beware of those that are coming around, that are false teachers trying to get you back into do's and don'ts of Christianity. And I want to give you the same warning. Not that, you know, you're concerned about Jewish teachers trying to get you back into the law. But again, there's a danger for us of getting caught up in do's and don'ts. Well, I'm going to church. I'm going to heaven because I went to church. You know, maybe I paid tithes. We have these lists of things we think we need to do to get to heaven. And the truth is, we need to believe in Jesus.
Amen.
Now, He'll lead us into things to do.
Yes.
He'll lead us into tithing. You follow me? I don't know if it's a condition to get to heaven or not, but it's definitely an important principle we need to activate in our lives. And He'll lead you to go to church. He'll lead you to pray and get in the Word. But the goal is not that you have a checklist to do to feel like you're okay with God. It's developing a relationship with Him. And that's what Paul is talking about in this passage, about knowing Jesus, about knowing God. So he says, beware of those who get you back into legalistic operation. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision. We're the circumcision. See, the Jews thought they were the circumcision. They were in the flesh, but not in spirit. We are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. My goodness. We are to be those who are not depending upon what we do as far as our good works to get to heaven. We're circumcised in spirit. God already took away our sin nature when you were born again.
Right? Amen.
You'll still mess up, but it's not who you are anymore.
Amen.
In fact, once you were born again, sin is no longer you doing it. It's the residue of who you used to be. Mm-hmm. I said that again.
Yes.
When you're born again and you mess up, you sin, it's not your nature to do that. But in your soul, there's still residue of what you used to do, what you used to enjoy, your escape mechanisms, your reactions. And actually, your meltdowns, your sin activities, are residue or residual effect of your old man. Amen. Verse 4. Though I might have confidence, also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And what Paul is saying is, it's not about what you do in the flesh. If it's all about the flesh, I'm top dog. I've got this down. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day, right? Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He says, I'm way up there as far as Jewish recognition. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Pharisees were the top scripture experts in their day. Amen. And I don't know how truth it is, how much truth, if whether it's true or not, but my understanding is Pharisees had to memorize the entire Old Testament. The Torah. He knows the word. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is the law, blameless. So he says, I was blameless in my zeal. Not only that, you know, because Judaism hates this, what they think is a false Messiah. They hate Jesus. I thought it was my job to persecute the church, and I did it perfectly. Paul actually himself was involved in the stoning of Stephen. In fact, it's believed that he was the one that gave the nod or the authority to do it. He was holding the coast, meaning he was the one in charge. And he's probably guilty of several other Christian
deaths.
Yeah. Amen. And when he was saved, he was carrying letters to Damascus to get more Christians arrested. He was doing it to the utmost. And then he says, of the law, righteous, which is the law, blameless. Now that's interesting, that phrase right there. Concerning the righteousness of the law, blameless. The law proved nobody was blameless. The law convicted everybody of sin. Do you follow me? The point of the law was to show everybody you've sinned. You've made transgressions against God's perfect law. But contained in the law was the opportunity, the right to sacrifice lambs during the Passover, the Day of Atonement, to have your sins covered. And that's how Paul could say that I was righteous based on the law because I did everything that was required. Amen. But we discovered he understood that was not enough. That wasn't sufficient. He's following again a list of do's and don'ts. Form and formality, rites and ritual was not going to be sufficient. But let's go to verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now we're going to get into this all in. Everything I attained. Everything I attained as a Pharisee, as one known for persecuting the church, and known for my zeal, known for all my standing, Pharisee of Pharisees, Hebrew of Hebrews, I recognized meant nothing as I stood before Jesus. I decided to say goodbye. I'm all in. That's no longer part of my life. That's not who I identify with. I'm starting new as a born-again believer. We all have the same opportunity. You know, there were things I was pretty good at when I got saved, at least decent. that I had to say goodbye to. When I got saved, and I drove to Arkansas to tell my father, just for a visit, to tell my dad, I was up there at night with him. And I says, I'm serving God now. I got born again. He got furious. For a clue, my dad was not a believer. In fact, he was an antichrist type individual. Hated the things of church in the world. Hated it. He got mad. He says, look at you. You could drink with the best of them. You could gamble with the best of them. You could chase skirts with the best of them. Now look at you. You're nothing but a do-gooder. Thank you for your blessing, Father. That was his declaration to me about what he thought of it. But you know what? All any admiration I'd built up with him for the years, or any desire to please him, I considered a loss for the excellency of Christ. And all those things he mentioned, I was good at. God set me free the night I was born again. Thank you, Jesus. I considered my past as past, and my future unlimited. In fact, repeat after me. My past is past. And my future's unlimited. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You understand you're now the God species of being if you receive Jesus. He took out your nature and heart of sin and put in you a heart of righteousness and love. And now he says, nothing should be impossible unto you. He said in John 14:12, the works I do, you'll do also. Greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. We are called to be miracle workers. As good as I was at my job, as good as I was at sinning, I was not qualified to do miracles. Now I've seen many of them. Praise God.
Yes.
You got to kiss some things goodbye. You say, I don't need you anymore. Amen. Not to mention all the things since I've got saved just falling off of me. He's had me leave behind because it was weight, dead weight for where I was going with him. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Say all things.
All things.
Now, Paul was in a different category than we are. Now, true, when I got born again, pretty much all my friends deserted me. I can't think of any of the ones that weren't born again that hung around. None of them. They all said pretty much goodbye. My family wasn't excited about me coming to some of the celebrations anymore because I wasn't going to drink, party, cuss, and carouse. You know, tell the jokes they told. So that wasn't really an open door as much anymore. My family was upset because they thought Patty had spoiled me and converted me to Christianity. Patty's family was upset at me because they thought I'd converted her and converted her to Christianity. The truth is, we did it to each other. Or God did it to both of us at the same time. We got saved the same night. But we considered it a loss for the excellency of knowing Christ. See you bypassed. I'd rather know Jesus.
Yeah.
And he says, I consider them but dumb for this excellency of knowing him. Consider him but dumb. Now, of all things that Paul could have tied his past to, I don't know if there's anything more gross or repulsive or repugnant as that term. Do you follow me? How many people like Brussels sprouts? Anybody like Brussels sprouts?
Yeah.
Let me think. How many like tofu? Not a person. Don't boil spoil this cap, Connie.
I have had it, yeah.
Well, I've had it. I don't like it. I've eaten quite a bit of it. So nobody really likes tofu, except for people that are lying because they don't want to eat the meat or whatever. You know, if you want to say something really negative about something else, you can say, I consider it like tofu. It would be on that. How many like to watch, say, golf on TV, but Frosty and Barry probably raise their hands? You like it, Bonnie? You like to watch golf?
Yeah, I watch it all the time. So ladies.
Oh yeah, they make some shots. Probably like something nobody want to see.
Yeah, you watch them do it wrong.
Because Patty watches stuff I would never consider watching. How many like to watch bowling on television? Never mind, that's frosty as well. Never mind. Trying to think of something else. How many want to watch one of the drag show programs on television? That's probably not a good example. You can say I consider it like that. Paul went as far down as he could. I consider it like dumb. All of my past is like dumb. I don't like the thought of that word. I don't like to step in it. Landmines in the yard. I don't like the smell of it. It's dumb. And in Israel, they had a gate of the city. There were 12 gates around Jerusalem when they built the wall. One was called the Dung Gate. That was to take the waste products of the city out through that gate. You didn't want it defiling the other gate, so you took it out through that gate. And you burned it or disposed of it outside the city. It doesn't belong around people, right? Much of my life growing up, I was required to use an outhouse. Had a few of them when I was growing up. My family did. My grandparents had one until I was 13. And finally got an indoor plumbing. So they had an outhouse. Interesting, the outhouse was always far away from the regular house. In fact, you usually put it in a place where the wind blew to carry it somewhere else, you follow me? And you don't want that smell around the house. And Paul said, everything I've done, everything I've accomplished, my life's work. How long do you think it took to memorize the entire Old Testament? How much effort do you think it took for him to rise up in his level of how can I say, religious recognition? All of his life. And he says, it's so far from me away, it's like an outhouse. You remove out of the city, out of your region, far away. I want nothing else to do with it. It's waste products. And you don't want to go try to dig up what God says is no longer valuable. Just let it go. Are you getting anything out of this? Let the past go. Go all in. He says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. That's what he used to be in. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith. He says, the deal I've made, the exchange I've made is no longer am I trying to establish my own righteousness by thinking I'm so good or good enough. I've let that go. Now, my faith in Christ and his sacrifice establishes my righteousness. My entire identity, follow me, my entire identity, my entire value, my entire foundation for everything is now in Christ. And he let the past go. It's no longer a value to me. Now for us, I don't think there's any Pharisees in here. Trained in Judaism, memorized the entire Old Testament. But we've got, how can I say, old habits we fall into. And sometimes we think it's just something of serving God, and it may just be legalism. Well, I read my chapter today. Well, good for you. What'd you get out of it? I don't know, but I read it. You follow me? We can tend to go through motions. I'm just trying to be nice and not stepping into the divine opportunities God's given to us. In fact, I've been sharing this quite a bit for some time. We've got a challenge in the church, a problem within Christianity. We've let the devil sell us placebos. You know what a placebo is? BJ, do you know what a placebo is? Nurse BJ. Placebo is a pill you give somebody that does nothing, but they think it does something because you told them it will. Right? A fake cure. And we've been given a placebo in the church We've exchanged expectation to live in a supernatural relationship with God. We've exchanged the ability to live in the Spirit, walk in the power of God, see miracles take place, see God manifest openly in our lives. We've let the enemy give us a sugar pill instead. This is all you got to do is just go to church and try to be nice. Not even go to church, just be a good person. Just try to be nice and do some good things. So now we think we fulfill God's call on our life. You know, if we said bless you to somebody and mowed the neighbor's yard. Well, praise God for those. But that's so far short, falling short of what God's called us to. He wants us to have a supernatural existence. When I read the miracles that Jesus did, and we read Paul did them, and Peter did them, and Philip did them, and the disciples did them, that's what God's after. Faith in a God that will move miraculously in their lives. You got to force yourself to step into it. And Paul said, for me to step into it, I'm all in. I'm considering everything I've depended on in the past but done. I'm leaving it behind. And I'm going to trust in the power of God. And too often, I'm not trying to beat anybody up or condemn anybody. But it's my job to stretch people. You follow me? Even myself. Too often, thinking about God, interacting with God, is just something we'll do maybe sometime of the day. Oh God, I'm going to pay attention to you now. I'm going to make this confession, or I'm going to, you know, make this prayer, or I'm going to read this scripture devotional. And the rest of the day, you're oblivious to God. Not you. I'm talking to the people watching that video. We're oblivious to Jesus wanting to interact in our lives. We're just going through the motions of trying to be nice and do some good deeds and not cuss like we used to. And of course, not the open, so we're not doing the drugs and the fornicating and all that stuff as well. Praise God. That's part of being nice. You follow me? Of just trying to live somewhat a respectable life. That God wants to bring us over, especially these last days, to functioning supernaturally. Your prayers are really answered. You can cast out devils if you need to, especially out of your house, right? Mm-hmm. You can lay hands on the sick and they're healed. The biggest thing that, you know, we talk about laying hands on the sick and we talk about casting out devils and the gifts of the Spirit. The most important thing we can experience is God leading our life. Now again, when I was first saved, we were focused on the gifts of the Spirit. We wanted to lay hands on the sick to see miracles. You know, we wanted to operate in the gifts of, you know, word of knowledge and words of wisdom. We wanted to see miracles. I said miracles. We wanted to carry anointings. See prayers answered. And it took me a while, but I traded off just for walking with God. Just for you leading my life and letting me know what to do and what not to do. And because I know if I do that, the miracles will follow. Yeah. Yeah. We've chased after the miracles and after the power. I left off the number one thing, which is to know Him. To walk with Him. And so, Paul's saying, I'm all in. My righteousness is based on Him. And He's become my foundation for everything I do in life. I'm trying to think of an example. My daughter just posted a picture yesterday. But my youngest daughter, Lori, she's my grandson. She had my grandson a year ago. He'll be a year old in a couple weeks. And not even that long. When she was little, Lori was little, she was attached to Patty, literally. If Patty left the room, she'd just go into screaming, just panic. So what she did is, once she got a little older, she would wrap her arms and legs around Patty's leg. Wherever Patty went in the house, she did it like this. All through the house. Lori's just not let her go. for some time. I think when she got in high school, she finally quit it. I mean, attached. So Patty had an extra appendage growth on her leg. And Lori posted a picture yesterday of her grandson doing the same thing. My grandson, her son, my grandson doing the same thing. Like this. She said, I guess I sewed for this, basically. This is payback, is what she said. Well, when your child's wrapped around your leg, you're always aware of them. You follow me? The oldest daughter, she didn't do that. She liked being out of sight. She could get into more stuff. This is a sidetrack. It really has not much to do with the message. But when Amy was little, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years old, something like that, Patty was in the kitchen. Next thing you know, and I bought Patty. She always loved to do her nails back, all the time, doing her nails, several times a day. She'd paint them, peel the polish off, do them again. I mean, multiple times a day. So I had this thing where it was some online deal where you could buy 500 emery boards. It's like next to nothing, you know, a couple bucks, 500 emery boards. So I ordered it for her. So she's got them in a drawer back in the bedroom, and Amy's missing. And Patty goes, oh my, Amy's gone. What's she doing? She walks back in the bedroom. There's Amy in the middle of the floor with 500 snapped emery boards. Snapped and peeled, everyone. Snapped and peeled, everyone. Lori stayed attached to Patty. She was always aware where Lori was. And I believe Paul wants us to know that we should be focused on Jesus as the center of everything we do in life. Not looking for permission to eat whatever, you follow me, but just take him with you. Be aware. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it says. That you make him your partner. And instead of getting distracted all the time, and occasionally during the day, you know, you do something that seems spiritual. We've exchanged power and relationship for being nice and doing good deeds. It's prevalent in the church worldwide. Now look at verse 10. Now before we go to this, in 1987, Apostle Ron Callahan came to be our pastor. And he said from the outset all the way through, we were under him for 34 years. And those 34 years, he would tell you without a doubt, this was his favorite verse in the Bible. He says, I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. His favorite phrase in the Bible in this verse was, that I may know him. Now, Pastor Kyle walked in power. He walked in fruit. He walked in wisdom. He walked as a leader. But the thing he says, I want to know his own relationship with God. And I watched him for all the 34 years lay on his face, do whatever he had to do, to pursue knowing Jesus, to pursue walking with the Spirit of God. You follow me? And he actually imparted that to all of us. It's what I want above all things. Now, if you'd asked me 25 years ago, I might not have said the same thing. I had a whole prayer list I wanted to answer. But now I want, above everything, I want to know God. I want him to be my best friend, my confidant, my partner. Then I'm always aware of what his attitude is, even with what I'm doing. And that I do nothing to displease him. Amen. And when we do, we're going to step into the glory. We're going to step into the love. We're going to step into his presence. We're going to step into total fulfillment in life. Now he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I believe when you walk in this tight relationship with God, and I'm after it, I'm fully not there yet, right? But when you walk in it, the power that raised him from the dead, the power of his resurrection comes on you. And you can be energized by that power. You can see miracles by that power. You can raise the dead by that power. Amen. We've watched that happen. Miracle after miracle by the power. But it's birthed out of not just trying to access some gifts, but out of a relationship. And again, I would rather have the relationship with God than the miracles anytime. Amen. His presence is irreplaceable by anything else the world has to offer. What was it? Patty, you know, we're on this. We're losing weight. And she has something the other day, fat-free something or carb-free something. And it wasn't good. It's like, who had the idea to invent fat-free cream cheese? You might as well eat a bar of plastic. Some things there's no substitute for. I don't like sucralose. There's no substitute for God. The presence of God's here right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He says, the powers of resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now let me say right now, you don't have to go to the cross. In fact, he says, be made conformable unto his death. You don't have to be martyred. I don't think you have to be beaten, stoned. I don't think you have to be physically harmed in any way. But if you follow Jesus, you will be persecuted. You will be mocked, judged, slandered, slammed, blackballed in some cases. You follow me? Because the word says, all the living godly shall suffer persecution. And I believe that part of the word because I believe the whole word. Anybody believe the word? How many believe the part that all the living godly shall suffer persecution? Therefore, if you're not experiencing any persecution, you need to examine yourself. Should be somebody not happy with you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're getting generically attacked on Facebook every day, right, for who you voted for. Tied to that. So, the same Bible that says all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution also says no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Both are in there.
Same.
A lot of people accept the persecution, but they don't expect the other part and they get beaten. You follow me, martyr, stoned? I don't think we have to be. I don't think it. I believe if we believe the word, stand on it, have a revelation of it, witchcraft can't work against you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
They can poke all the voodoo dolls if they want to.
Amen. Amen.
I saw a post the other day. A wife was upstairs. She hollered down at her husband. She says, "Dear, have you ever felt like somebody's got a voodoo doll and they're sticking the voodoo pin in the side of the doll? You ever have a pain like that?" He said, "No." She says, "How about now?" Am I giving Bonnie ideas? Is that what you're saying, Frosty? I'm surprised she didn't slap you half the times in church. You have my permission. That's okay. I'm sorry. I don't understand. God will forgive you. And so the fellowship of his sufferings may be made conformable to his death. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew he was facing the cross in a few hours, about to experience a torturous death, the scourging. He knew it all. He said, "Father, not." He said, "Let this cup pass from before me, if it be possible. Let this cup pass from before me." In other words, I don't want to do this. To put it in today's terms, no, I don't want to do this. God, what else you got? But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And of course, God's will, Father God, was the cross. And so being made conformable to his death doesn't mean you have to die for Jesus. It means you have to die to your desires and take upon God's calling. Yes. What's God want you to do? Sometimes you just got to let some things go. God, what do you want me to do in this situation? He'll tell you things that sometimes you feel like you might rather die. He'll say, apologize. So that. Don't say that. How about this one? Don't eat that. I've been hearing that a few times. I said, God, help me with this. I didn't know it meant all that. But to speak to us about being in His perfect will, and we have to be willing to listen. Right? Be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attend to the resurrection of the dead. Now, everybody gets resurrected from the dead. I mean, in other words, your spirit's going to be released. But Paul's talking about going to heaven. Now, I don't know if there's a person in the New Testament, really in the Bible, because the New Testament trumps the Old. There's probably not a person in the Bible other than Jesus that's held in higher esteem than Paul. Of course, some would say Mother Mary. Paul wrote 2/3 of the book of books of the New Testament. He had the revelation of righteousness. He was the one that brought the word, the gospel to the Gentiles. Yet he says, follow me. If by any means I can be in heaven, I can get to heaven. In other words, Paul understood it's not over until it's over. There's a race to run. It's not finished until we're done. And of course, the same Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, we covered it a couple weeks ago. He said, my race is over. I've fought a good fight. Stayed the course. And there's laid up for me a crown of glory. Paul finished what he was assigned to do. But at this time, he says, I got to stay on the ball. And the point I want to make out of this is it's amazing how many Christians get lethargic about following Jesus. Well, I believe in Him, and he's talked to me before, and I had a dream or a vision. But yet, they get lazy about pursuing Him any further. That's a dangerous place. In Luke chapter 12, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. There's a story about a farmer whose fields brought forth plentifully. In other words, he had abundance, which is a representation of working the word. His field is, putting his seed in the ground, seeing it produce. He's become prosperous. And he said, what am I going to do? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build bigger barns, tear down the old, fill my barns, and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Kick back. I'm done with this. In other words, I'm not going to be farming this field anymore, which is the kingdom of heaven. And God said, you fool. You quit, and you're not done. This night your soul shall be required of you. It cost him his life. And whether it's a true story or a parable, we really don't know. But there's no stop date for us. Now, I'm sure some of you are retired in here. I'm probably about the only person in my graduating class that's not retired. You know, you hit 65 or 70, maybe a little older, people start to retire. Well, most people retire. And I understand that. But just because you retire from your secular job, your career, doesn't mean you should ever retire from following God. Some people do that. Well, I'm retired. I don't need to do all that stuff anymore. That's dangerous to God. Well, let me move on here. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. He's talking about, I'm not finished. And I believe he's even letting us know, even though I've done all this work in the past, even though God used me so effectively, I can't afford to turn my back on the gospel now and on this assignment now. It could cost me heaven. When we tell so many people, we don't, people do. All you got to do is say this poem and confess Jesus Christ, you're born again and you're going to heaven no matter what you do the rest of your life. It's not scriptural. It's not biblical. Now, I believe you have to work to lose your salvation. But it's doable. Amen. And it's too costly to consider. Not as though I'd already attained, either was perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, I'm going after God like God's going after me. Now it's interesting. With Lori, Lori's coming after Patty. And with Amy, Patty's going after Amy. But regardless, it's Mother's Day. Mothers don't lose sight of their young children. I mean, you can put them in a playpen, you follow me, you know they're safe. But you don't just set them out anywhere. Now, my grandson's coming to visit us next month. I don't know how we're going to childproof the house. We may have to unload some guns even. Or to do some childproofing. And a mother doesn't lose sight of her young child. In fact, I'm of the opinion they never lose heart for their child, no matter how old they get. A child's always on their heart. The parents always wants the best for the child if it's a reasonable-minded parent, right? And Paul says, just like my father's always minded for me, mindful of me, I'm determined to always be going after him in the same fashion. God's always thinking of us. He always wants the best for us. There's not a single moment, split second in your life, God's not aware of what you're doing, what would please you, what your needs are. Amen. He knows it. And he's always cheerleading. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Come after me. Go on. Get into work. Go to church. Listen. And Paul's saying, I want the same thing in my life that God wants in my life. I'm chasing after him. I need to speed this up. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I'm not done. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I forget what's behind. I'm pressing. Pressing means exerted effort. It's more than a tap, more than a press, more than a touch. It's a press, force exerted. And Paul said, I'm putting forth effort, force to complete this assignment he's put upon me. I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing into it. And here's Paul with all he'd done. See, he wanted to press, and yet again, Christians take this lightly. Well, it's just kind of a sideline. Now, I understand you don't have my schedule. You can't do what I'm doing. You've got jobs to go to and such for the most part. But you can be mindful of God at your job.
Amen.
You can bring him with you. You can praise him whenever you get a chance. I know the moment I got saved, I had such a heart for the things of the kingdom. I was still working. And I was talking to God all day. And when I got lunch hour, I'd pull up my New Testament and mark it up and read during my lunch hour. Taking that part of it. Just to get more of God. You got to want it. That's what Paul's talking about. You got to want it. So he says, I forget what's behind. And forgetting what's behind is forgetting your mistakes, your mess-ups, your inabilities. Where people have told you you're not able to do that. Or there's flaws in your life. Your relationships that have failed. Words that have been spoken over you. You forget all of it. Every day is a new day with God. His mercies are new every morning. And start pursuing again. It also means forgetting your successes. What do you mean? You can't live on yesterday's accolades. You did great things for God yesterday. Don't stop sowing in your fields today.
Yeah.
We're only given so many days, hours, and years on this earth. Use them wisely. And again, I've shared this many times. I did a calculation many years ago. I'm a numbers guy. And I calculated approximately how many days I had left on earth. If I lived 120, how many would it be? I converted that to how many days in eternity. It was like this. The scale was enough. Eternity is a whole lot more than 120 years.
Yes.
Think how many years it's been since Jesus. A whole lot of 120s. And I came to the conclusion it'd be good for me to invest the 120 I have now in things that will pay off for eternity. Versus not getting involved in cornbread operations. You know what I'm talking about, do you? Cornbread operations, I need to explain. How many know what I'm talking about? You've been on top of three or four people. When I go to a all-you-can-eat buffet or a family dinner, anything where there's a lot of food, I don't eat the cornbread. I like cornbread, it's fine. But I like a lot of stuff a whole lot better. I like ribs better, hamburgers better, hot dogs better, Brussels sprouts better. Yeah, cornbread's okay. If you put enough butter on it, you can choke it down. And I call cornbread filler. I mean, all you can eat, I'm not eating filler. We went to Texas Day Brazil last week, and I didn't eat any bread. I didn't eat any filler for the most part. I ate meat. Shrimp and salmon. Lamb. Beef. I didn't eat any chicken. Chicken's filler as far as you have it. All you can eat meat, chicken's filler. So when I'm talking about cornbread activities, there's things in your life that are just filler. They're using your time. You may enjoy it. It's okay. But it's not God oriented. God will do like he did with me. He delivered me from so many filler things that just time consumption. One that I've had him deal with me on for some time is I'll at times get caught up watching some sports. Maybe my team's doing well and I'll be watching the games. And you know, you watch a baseball game, it's 3 hours. Basketball is two. You finish, and what did you accomplish? Well, my team won, or they got one or the other. What did I accomplish spiritually? Nothing. So I just used 2 of my hours for idol worship. I wouldn't put it like that. For just cornbread activity. You can take that and quit letting your mind just be filled with junk and focus on the things of the kingdom. So Paul's talking about pursuing this. Let's close this out. Again, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press toward that mark. And verse 15 is key. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. I'm not talking about you perfected everything, but you're after the perfect call of God, pursuing perfection. Be thus minded. In other words, be minded to go after God with everything you have. And if we be anyway otherwise minded, it says, God shall reveal even this unto us. God will show you things in your life that aren't taking you on the path you need to be on. He tells you to get rid of some stuff. Here's one. He hasn't spoke this to me, but I'm open to it. He told a lot of people to fast Facebook. Why? Because you watch it and say, you know, 3 hours are going by.
Yeah.
You're checking it all day and, you know, you've spent 20 minutes each time and now 5 hours are going by or whatever. Or we could use, you know, Instagram or TikTok or whatever is popular. It's just time consuming. You haven't been getting good information. Yeah, but is it spiritual information? It could be corporate. Got to say fast that. Fast distractions. See, now he's telling me the worst fast isn't correct, but to purge yourself of things that are just using your time. Simplify. So today I gave away a whole truckload of stuff. Back of this pickup truck was pretty much filled. Stuff that could have been future projects. I said, no, God. You could have made a bunch of money. Yeah, I could have made money. But my time's worth more than that. I don't have time for all that. Sean, you take it. Let it waste your time. No, you sell it. He said it today. He runs flea markets. That's what he does. And so just getting rid of stuff to free up time for God. And he says, God will show you where you're missing this. So Father, I pray right now, you lead us, me included, into dropping what we don't need. Getting rid of distractions. Focusing on you, inviting you into our lives. Spirit, you come into our life right now. Make yourself so important to us that we want nothing else. Thank you, Jesus, for your power released upon us as we focus on you. More and more of you means more and more of a supernatural ability. More and more relationship, more and more fulfillment. Yes. Thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So be it. Now, Father, I decree in this church there are none sick. No pain is allowed here. No sickness. No infirmity. There's no lack. We lack nothing. People lack nothing. There's no oppression. We bind witchcraft, fear, oppression of every form. There's no suicide. No just feeling worthless. We bind that up. And there's no strife. No division, no jealousy, envy, backbiting. The supernatural love of God sustains us. And thank you. The divine encounter is all we can. We have our new facility. In Jesus' name.